10 to shoot, dribbling left to the baseline. Alley-oop backside, Robinson jam. The first appearance in 20 years for the Michigan Wolverines, and it's a long wait, but it seems just fine now. Handshakes between the coaches, the buzzer sounds, and Michigan is going back to the Final Four.
Rebound tipped in the air. Siva's got it for Louisville. Siva on the run, going coast to coast, all the way to the rack, lays it in. He went right at Ryan Kelly. 4 seconds, 3 seconds, 2 seconds, and the final spot in the Final Four was in the cards. Louisville grabs the Final Four for the second straight year.
It's over. A march to remember for Syracuse. For the first time in 10 years, they're going to the Final Four. A 55-39 win over Marquette.
Down to five to go on the shot clock. Van Vliet trying to clear. Steps between defenders off the left block. His runner is good. Rims in. A dagger by Van Vliet.
And then there were four. Welcome into the zone on this Final Four recap Monday on a sunny day here in Central Arkansas. Justin Akre joined by the incomparable Chris Kane. He is our triple threat.
Glad to be here.
Good morning, sir.
Good morrow.
What a great, great weekend of basketball.
Television in general, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes.
There was, from a sports standpoint, from a non-sports standpoint, I know you spent a lot of time probably watching the Country Music Awards.
Oh, yes.
Was that this weekend?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Maybe not yet.
We would have talked about it in our entertainment news this morning, okay. So I don't think so.
They were teasing it. Maybe it's next week.
Yes, I think it is.
Well, anyway, so our Final Four, very unlikely. Actually, I will commend a couple of people here at the Buzz.
Who had it? Anyone?
RJ Hawk of our staff has two of the Final Four, including Michigan.
Two?
So he had Michigan in the Final Four, surprisingly.
Okay, very nice.
Also, Jameson Mosley, who is our design/web/whatever. He wears many hats. He's a very smart guy. One
very
of the
cool.
smarter people in the building, which, again, isn't saying a lot.
They're good to have.
He's a great guy to have.
Yeah.
He had Syracuse and Louisville. So if Louisville and Syracuse play in the final, it's
He's
over.
Basically
he wins.
Win.
If RJ gets Michigan and Louisville in the final, he wins the bracket. So that's
really?
What it comes down to.
Oh,
here
so RJ's in the final round, too.
Yeah, RJ is guaranteed no worse than second. So it's just
really?
Down to, I have Louisville
that's
in the
impressive.
Final, but I can't get enough points because I'm actually sitting in fourth. I'm 2 points back from being in third.
I tell you what, I'll give you one guess, but I'll break it down to you. Channel 7 of who is in the lead right now.
Male or female?
It's a female.
Melinda Mayo.
Nope, and she is an anchor.
Christina Munoz.
Yes.
Yeah, she knows her hoops.
She does. She's
a sports fan.
She's very good. And in second place, and the only other person I think with a chance to win would be Tony Ranchino.
Tony's quite a sports fan as well.
He is.
He's not a chick. He's a dude.
Yes, that's right.
But he's very talented. So, well, that's cool. I hope everybody else's bracket is faring okay.
Not
I was
really.
Actually pretty. There were a lot of things. Basel was completely, ejected from any contention this weekend. Matt Jones, same deal.
Really?
Their brackets fell apart this weekend because they were very much in the mix. Matt was in the top three or four, so was Baz. And their brackets.
Who messed them up?
Well, Indiana killed them.
Yeah.
You know, they had Indiana going.
That was actually earlier last week, too.
So the question be, well, it was Thursday,
yeah.
I guess. So,
well, I mean, yeah.
Well, how about Friday night? Friday night, and we won't even talk about it because we're talking about the Elite Eight games, but.
Incredible.
The comeback by the Michigan Wolverines, and then they compound that with a beatdown of the Gators. On Sunday, happy Easter indeed.
Have to hand it to him.
Game ball
to Trey Burke, for sure. 0-for-4 in the first half and then comes out on fire
Trey
to start
Burke,
the second.
Throughout the season, Chris was one of the most confounding players. And Pigskin, if you're listening, I'd love to hear from you. You're a guy that watched him a lot closer than I did this year. But he has all the talent in the world, Big Ten Player of the Year this year. But he likes to pound the ball into the court too much. He likes to watch himself dribble too often. He also, at times, makes bonehead plays and doesn't share the basketball. And there are other guys on the team, including Hardaway, who are like that as well. But when they are sharing the ball, and there was some great passing and obviously some great shooting, I've never seen a team in the Sweet 16 or better go 13-0 to start a game, ever. Never, ever.
Mm-mm.
That was unbelievable.
That was incredible. Their comeback, too. I mean, you could just tell. When they missed that free throw with 10 seconds left, when Kansas did, I didn't have – I mean, you knew Trey Burke was playing well, but when you're that far beyond the arc, you just have to think, if this goes in, it's fate at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, even talent, skill, they've got it. I get that, but it's fate at that point. To be 6-7 – I mean, he was 32 feet away, and he was almost fading back a little bit. For him to drain that was – just remarkable.
It really was.
Incredible. And they, it's fun to watch.
The great thing is you really get the sense that and Syracuse was grossly underseeded. Michigan, it might appear, was underseeded as well. I think it's pretty safe to say they should have been no worse than a 3. But again, you get into a little bit of a, you know, it's probably not even worth arguing over at this point. Louisville, the only one to reach the final. And again, mm-hmm. you've got a 9 versus a 1,
yeah.
and you've got 2 4s matching up.
And on that note, exactly, you know, in the past 4 years, only 3 number one seeds have reached the Final Four.
See, that's amazing. Well, we talked about it before the start of the tournament was that you were going to see more parity this year, and I thought, I went reverse psychology. I thought, because they say more parity, it's probably going to be like 3 1s and a 4. Didn't work out that way.
No.
It's actually been great. And congratulations to Wichita State. What a great story they've been. And they were underseeded probably too. But again, when you play in a smaller conference and you lose to some schools you shouldn't, I mean, it's like Florida Gulf Coast. I mean, they lose to Lipscomb twice this year. I mean, come on. Nobody could have predicted that.
No.
I defy you to show me someone who has all four.
There's no way.
I can't imagine anybody having all four of these teams in the final.
Even in a, you know, in some years where some second grade girl fills it out because of her favorite mascots and she somehow gets it all right. Didn't even happen this year. According to ESPN's brackets, you know, and what they've looked at, out of their 8.1 million that were submitted, no one had the Final Four.
Special game ball.
One had all the Sweet 16. No one had all the Sweet 16 right at the time, at least.
That's not surprising.
Yeah. And it was because of Florida Gulf Coast. I think Final Four, there might have been a couple.
It's been a bizarre tournament for sure. Double game ball to Louisville. First of all, for the blowout victory over Duke. Second of all, for being able to keep it together after the injury to Kevin Ware. One of the most graphic there is a small group of graphic injuries that happen within the field of play that will go down in history.
On a big stage, too.
Well, or at all. I mean,
well, yeah,
memorable
sure.
injuries
yeah.
in major sports, whether it's college or pro, that you will always remember. You got the Crumry injury from Cincinnati, the lineman.
Yeah.
You got the Theismann injury.
Of course.
Which, luckily for us, was mostly, you know,
you couldn't really see because
exactly.
You know, Theismann was, it was terrible, and obviously breaking your femur is just completely gruesome and graphic if you see it. But, you know, football, same with Lattimore and same with McGahee injuries, you don't really see it because of the pants.
Lattimore was another one. Well,
it
Lattimore,
was bad.
But you saw his leg flop
sure,
the wrong
sure.
way.
Sure, and that was bad. But you didn't, I mean, I don't think you've ever seen the bone come so cleanly out and visible. To where
luckily
it's
they didn't
just
have
there.
A real tight shot of it. There was more of a wide shot, but it was still graphic enough.
I mean, you can see it.
I've never seen players react quite like that.
And coaches react like that.
Yeah, quite like they did, where you saw everybody on the bench freak out and you saw the guys on the court basically just acted as though they'd seen someone they loved killed.
Yeah.
I mean,
like
they,
someone just got shot.
Yeah, they melted
they
down
dropped.
Right there on the court. It was unbelievable to watch. The reaction was almost, to me, more gut-wrenching than the injury itself to some degree.
Yeah.
It was bizarre. But you also have, I guess, I was just trying to think of like the worst injuries I've ever seen. You had the pro throw injury, the dangly leg from Alabama, the receiver from a few years ago.
Oh, that was bad. There's been a couple. In, you know, football, I think another thing, too, is you just don't think of it in basketball.
We had the hockey one where the guy almost bled out, where he got cut. Remember on that, where he got his jugular cut or whatever?
Yeah, when the guy went over the boards.
Yes. I don't mean to gross everybody out if you're having a late breakfast or an early lunch, but yeah, the spurting blood, disgusting.
I mean, that was, it was, but yesterday's, I think, was one that, I'll say it's the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was, because it was easiest to see, like you said, because of the nature of basketball where you have shorts on,
exactly.
And the leg is
exposed.
And
don't get me wrong, that's not to downplay the football injuries, which are
to say the leg is exposed,
awful.
I guess, is brought to a whole different level in this particular injury, but yes, go on.
Yes, exactly. Well, you know, whenever you watch football, like I said, when there's, you know how bad it is with the Lattimore injury, you see the leg dangling, it's awful, but you don't see it actually sticking out with
Ethan
with
brought up Moises
Alou.
I heard somebody else bring this up today, and I don't remember that injury at all.
Which one?
The Moises Alou injury.
I don't remember that.
I don't either. Apparently, it was pretty
we
nasty.
We got your man.
We'll talk to him in a second. I do want to play the clip from Rick Pitino, and again, I can't commend them enough for dealing with that. And hey, the Duke players too. I'm sure everybody gets freaked out by something like that, and especially like when it comes in a football play where somebody gets hurt bad.
Yeah.
On a play where he gets knocked out clean, and you're fearing for life.
Everyone takes a knee.
Yeah, you think he's paralyzed or whatever.
Yeah, it's
hard.
Scary stuff, man.
It's hard to go back in and play.
Yeah.
This is the kind of situation where once you get over the initial shock of it, they get him off the court. I think you can somewhat get back because it's such a bizarre, weird thing. Plays in football where a guy gets knocked out cold, I would have a hard time, you know, going and being involved in a heavily, you know, a heavy contact play.
Sure.
Right away.
This was still scary though because it was such a freak play. He just jumped to block a ball. It wasn't like he came down wrong or came down awkwardly on somebody. It was just complete freak play.
We'll get a doctor's comments on it here in a second, but here's the comments from Rick Pitino following the injury to Ware.
Well, we won this for him. We're all choked up with emotion for him. We'll get him back to normal. We got great doctors, great trainers, but we're choked up. We wanted to get back to Atlanta. We talked about every time out. Bring Kevin home. Unbelievable performance. So proud of the guys. Basically, the bone popped out of his skin. It broke in two spots. It'll take a year for him to come back. He'll come back better than ever. It's the same injury that Michael Bush had in football. Look at the way he's come back. All he kept saying, and remember, the bone's 6 inches out of his leg, and all he's yelling, win the game, win the game. I've not seen that in my life. We're all distraught, and all he's saying is win the game while the bone's out of his leg. Pretty special young man.
Indeed.
Just win, baby, win.
Well, not many people had Michigan making the Final Four this year. I think most people felt like they were probably a year away.
Yeah.
Including probably John Beilein, if you asked him before the tournament started. The Pigskin Preacher, I'm not sure, thought they were going to be in the Final Four. I think he would have been happy with them making the Elite Eight. But boy, what joy for Michigan fans. The unbelievably unlikely victory over Kansas, one we may not see again in our lifetime, to come back like that. And again, to see him come back against a school like I went to, or you went to, that kind of stuff happens.
Sure.
But against a program like Kansas, that kind of thing doesn't happen.
Top tier.
And then for them to come back and play the way they did yesterday, where they jumped all over Florida and never let up. Very impressive. Pigskin, congratulations.
Man, thank you. It's been a great, great few days. It really has. I was grinning all day yesterday. Couldn't get that smile off my face for anything.
Did you wear your big gold M to Bible class last night or the late service?
I did. I taught a Bible class wearing my Michigan warm-up suit. I kind of look like somebody from The Sopranos. Except it was a Michigan suit rather than a Fila track suit.
I like that. Well, you're the Tony Soprano of the Pleasant Valley Church of Christ, for
that's
sure.
That's often been said. That's true.
Here in waste management also, at least when you come in the zone. So, I mean, honestly, the Kansas game, as a devout fan, someone who grew up rooting for the Blue, you had to at some point go, okay, well, look, we had a nice run. It'll be fun for next year.
Oh,
this is
no,
good something
no
to build
question.
On.
Well, you remember, as we were on the show last week on the Zone from Oaklawn, what did I tell you as we talked about it? I said, Kansas is too big, and they're going to kill us inside. And they were too big, and they did kill us inside. I still don't know how we won the game.
Yeah.
It was. I'm sure Bill Self doesn't know how we won the game either, so... It's Kansas had like 50, 60 points in the paint. Usually when that kind of thing happens, you don't lose the game. But we hit a few shots down the stretch. You know, Burke just went out of his mind. It was a great, great victory. I will remember that for the rest of my life, I'm sure.
That was, I mean, that's, as what was it? How many points were you down with 2 minutes to go?
10? Well, with 2:44 left, we were 10 points down. And they were at the free throw line shooting. And I'm like, there's no way. I mean, I've never seen anybody come back from, you know, a 10, 12-point deficit with 2 minutes to go. And they started four seniors in that lineup where we start a junior, a sophomore, and three freshmen.
Yeah. Well,
you don't get upperclassmen that usually fritter away a lead like that.
That's true. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Well, and we saw, you know, yesterday, too, you know, with Florida, they had a lot of upperclassmen as well. And the thing about it is these days, and I hate it for basketball because I liked it, you know, and people have made the comments recently where they feel like maybe basketball is not quite at the same level from a quality standpoint of the college.
Oh, it's not. There's no question.
But the thing is, if you have a collection of four seniors and a junior starting like Florida did yesterday or whatever it was, I think they had three seniors or four seniors starting and a junior.
They're probably not that good.
Exactly. That's the point. So if they're good enough, they're usually gone before then. I have a pretty good feeling that Trey Burke will not see his senior year at Michigan.
He's done, obviously, and you can't blame the kid. You saw what happened to the guy for Louisville. Are you going to tell a kid that might make $10 million, hey, you need to stay so your leg can break in 18 places? I mean, you can't do that. I mean,
yeah.
You know, Greg Anthony made the best point about yesterday's game, and nobody else had said this except him. I find him a pretty compelling analyst anyway. But
I agree.
He said this. He said, I think Florida lost the game when Donovan refused to come out and trap these guys and press full court. He said, the one thing that they've done all year, you go and tell your team, we don't think you're good enough to do this. They just came out flat as a pancake. I think that was one of the reasons why. Sometimes in sports, you try to be something that you're not, And then Florida has got a bunch of athletes. They run, they press, they trap it. It would be like Mike Anderson or Nolan Richardson saying, we're not going to unleash the hounds on defense. We're just going to stay back and, you know, play a Syracuse-like zone. That's not their game. You got to play your game. And Florida got out of that. Michigan just jumped on them early and didn't let them up.
Okay, so speaking of Syracuse, how do you feel about that matchup? Maybe the best, maybe the best four-on-four matchup from a seeding standpoint in the history of the NCAA tournament.
I don't feel – I mean, Syracuse's defense has been great. That zone, it's like we talked the other day, they got a bunch of Scottie Pippen-type athletes that are out there just harassing you like crazy. But we've got a couple of things, I think, going for us. We got a point guard that can get into the paint and penetrate. And we've got guys on the wings that if they collapse to help him, they can knock those shots down. I mean, you saw my boy Stauskas yesterday, six for six from the arc. I wouldn't go and leave him to go help on Burke if I were Syracuse. So, and the other thing that I feel good about, while Syracuse has great athletes, very long, great defense, their offense isn't that good. I'm a lot more afraid of Louisville, frankly, because Louisville's got those really quick guards. They shoot the three great. Syracuse isn't a great shooting team. I can see it being kind of an ugly, you know, 60-55 game. But if we can score 60 points, I think we can beat them.
Where will you be on Saturday?
Well, I'm probably going to have a little soiree at the house and, you know, just kind of get ready. I'm thrilled that we're the second game. I can't play in the first game. I we'll sit around and just talk and, kind of get our game faces on for the big event.
But
it's been a long time coming. Good grief.
But when you're in the late game, though, Pigskin, if Wichita State somehow continues to pull off shockers and beats Louisville, you're going to be sitting there going, man, we got this in the bag if we can just win this game tonight against Syracuse. And then if they don't win, you think, man, it was sitting there for us.
Well, I'm hoping that Wichita State finds some way to win because I think that would be a lot easier matchup than Louisville. Louisville just looks rugged right now.
That's it.
They really do.
No, unless they get lost on the way, I don't imagine they will lose this coming Saturday. But Wichita State has overcome some serious adversity.
Oh, listen, they're a good team. I watched them play a year ago when McDermott and Creighton were getting all that publicity, and Wichita State just came in and shut them down. They're a solid team. I mean, you don't beat all these teams they've beaten with smoke and mirrors. You know, they're doing it the right way. I'm not really sure about that coach's glasses, though. He looks like he's taking George Costanza's female glasses, you know, with yellow frames.
Yes.
I'm like, dude, guys
Classic.
Don't wear yellow glasses. I mean, you know, what are you doing here? You know, go get the old Kurt Rambis
I'm with
Clark
you.
Kent glasses. You know, it'd look a lot better.
The only dude that has an excuse to wear glasses like that is Stevie Wonder. Okay, so Pigskin. Okay, that
yes,
was
sir.
Totally inappropriate.
Yep.
All right. Last thing. I want to give you a second here to comment on Steve Alford. We talked about him on Friday for a moment.
Oh, my goodness.
Between Friday and today, Steve Alford, after signing a 10-year deal at New Mexico.
The day before.
He accepts
the
new job at UCLA.
I've got a pretty unique insight. I watched the kid, he's about my age, I guess. I watched him at Indiana, you know, the fair-haired boy, you know, all-time Big Ten leading scorer, the whole thing. You figured he was going to be made for Indiana. Well, he goes out at some mid-majors. He was at Missouri State now, Southwest Missouri State.
Mm-hmm.
And he's at Iowa. I figured he would be the Indiana guy. They passed over him. Well, he jumped ship at Iowa probably before they were going to fire him because they weren't real happy with him.
No,
he had done a really good job in New Mexico. And, I mean, they loved the guy. I was out there 2 weeks ago for a preaching engagement. And I'm watching the Albuquerque News every day for a week. They were crazy about the guy. And when they locked him up after he won his third straight Mountain West championship, which was, you know, a decent league, not great, but solid, and they went into the UNLV and beat UNLV in Vegas again. So, I mean, he had a lot of success. The 10-year contract, they're like, this is fantastic. You know, we've got the guy we want, and he's saying all the right things. This is where I want to be. You know, I'm going to retire here. Then 10 days later, he bails because the UCLA job comes up. Now, you understand that's a prestigious program historically, but here's what you have to look at. He almost could do no wrong at New Mexico. They loved him. They're crazy about him. They're happy to have him. UCLA just fired a guy in Ben Howland that not too long ago made three consecutive Final Fours. UCLA fired Jim Herrick, who won a national championship. They fired Steve Lavin, who'd gone to three straight Sweet 16s. UCLA is in this time warp where they're delusional enough to think that they're still the program they were when John Wooden was there. And they had Bill Walton and Lou Alcindor and all those, Gail Goodrich, all the great players. They're not that program anymore. He's going to go out there, and he's going to have more success than he's had at this point in his career just to be to the level where they fired guys before.
Right.
I think, you know, get your money and count it and put it in the bank, because there is no way in the world he retires at that place. No way.
I'm sure it has not been lost on you or most of the people who have followed this story closely that he will not be going alone either, because I don't know who's going to be on his coaching staff, but he's bringing a 6'3 shooting guard named Bryce Alford that is his son, who broke
He's got two kids that are going to be on the team. One just finished his senior year in high school.
Yeah.
He's like the all-time
He broke a 50-year-old New Mexico high school scoring record.
Well, the guys in New Mexico explained it to me. He said his oldest kid is, yeah, meh, he's okay. He said the little one's lights out. But again, you're coaching your kid better be great. I mean, because if he's not, can you imagine all those SoCal pubs? Oh, he's playing his kid, you know, over this guy from Compton or this guy from San Diego. I mean, I don't know. It's a weird thing, but, you know, it's one of those things. You guys deal with it on the zone all the time with all these contracts and people complain about players getting their money and doing this and doing that. Anytime someone goes and says it's not about the money, it usually is about the money.
Mm-hmm.
And when they go ahead and sign something like that, they act like that's binding. There's nothing that's binding anymore. I mean, there really isn't. And, you know, that guy would jump from a perfect situation that where they really love him, it's just kind of hard to understand.
My favorite situation like that was when Coach Newell ended up at UAM at Monticello. Mm-hmm. His son ended up playing for him down there, and one time it was at UAM was playing at UCA when they were still in the conference together. And every time he touched the ball, all the kids in the stands screamed, "Daddy's girl! Daddy's girl!" Hilarious. So,
and his kid could play a little bit.
He was
too.
a great shooter. Yeah, for the rest of the Pac-12, you can use that for your own devices on Alford's kid when he gets in the game.
Get ready, because there will be that and many worse things that will be said in opposing arenas, undoubtedly.
No doubt. So. Well, there's no telling what the UCLA fans will be saying if he doesn't make a Final Four soon. So, last but not least, I got myself to wondering this morning. We make, of course, a big deal, appropriately so, as Christians, about Easter. I thought to myself, what was it like the day after Easter? So it's like, man, you're not going to believe what happened yesterday. I mean, we make a big deal about this poor kid from Louisville being injured. I'm thinking, what were the people sitting around talking about the day after Jesus rose from the dead? It was the day after that people have a little bit of time to sort of drink it in and take it into perspective.
Well, keep in mind, the news about that was kind of seeping out.
It wasn't April Fool's Day when it all went down, I assume.
And most of them didn't believe it at first. They're like, no way. It's like a bunch of goofy women that got into the sacramental wine again. You know, there's no way you can believe these guys. And, you know, sooner or later, like, dude, we saw him. Seriously, we did. And the Bible says that it was over a period of 40 days that he starts appearing, you know, to this group and to this person and to that person. And, you know, most of them had gone back to their jobs. You know, the Apostle Peter, for instance, he went back to Sea of Galilee and got his fishing boat out and started fishing again. He's like, well, you know, that was pretty cool, but I guess it didn't end up the way we thought it would. And little did they know, the final chapter had not yet been written.
That's right. But anyway, it was funny that I'm thinking, man, what if it was April Fool's the next day? I guess they didn't probably have April Fool's back then. Dude, come on. Seriously? No way. It's April Fool's?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you guys would know about April Fool's better than most working down there at the station. So,
hey, speaking of fools, one last thing before I let you go. How about your boy R.J. Hawk, the only person at the Buzz to have Michigan in the Final Four? So as much grief as you give that kid, you do have to give him a game ball today.
I'm completely perplexed by that, because he had a lot more faith in us than I did, because I watched this team that was 6-6 down the stretch,
right.
And I thought, if they can get to the Sweet 16, that'll be a good finish. And
yeah, well, he hasn't suffered through all the disappointment of Michigan basketball over the years like you have, so he's not as jaded.
Not to mention football. RJ is so generally myopic. he probably thought they were bringing Lloyd Carr back to be the bench coach for this. So, you know, that's probably why he chose them.
Pigskin, maybe there's more to RJ than we thought.
No, there's less.
Okay.
There's less.
Just checking. All right, Pigskin, great pickup. I'll talk to you soon.
See you, boys.
Thank you.